Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
DeSean Jackson weighs in on which quarterback the Bucs should play after this week, Ryan Fitzpatrick or Jameis Winston. And he says, you can't take the hot man out. What will the Bucs do after Monday night when Winston returns? I'll give you my insights on that. And what happened to defensive end Noah Spence? He was inactive Sunday. We'll tell you about the meeting that he requested in Dirk Cutter's office. And the Rays begin a series against the Texas Rangers, still hoping to make that wild card playoff. The Lightning, speaking of beginnings, start the preseason tonight. They have a game against the Carolina Hurricanes. All that and more on this edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. Before we get started, I want to welcome our sponsor, Millionaire Air Conditioning and Heating. Do you want to be a millionaire? Well, for 30 years, Howard and Sue Million have brought their cool comfort of air conditioning to the entire Tampa Bay area, making thousands of residents millionaires with their quality products and service. Millionaire is currently offering 0% interest for 72 months on qualifying equipment. Give them a call at 727-862-2100 to take advantage of this great offer on a brand new quality Trane air conditioning unit or to schedule service or maintenance. Call 727-862-2100 today. Trust the masters of comfort. Millionaire. So, Steve, it was interesting waking up on Monday morning and sort of seeing, you know, all the TV shows. I get up fairly early. My kids go to school, so I've got like, you know, SportsCenter and Good Morning Football and, you know, sort of a lot of these. What's the other show now called Wake Up or something like that?
Get up with Mike Greenberg and whoever
get
else.
Get the hell
is with
up. That's exactly. So I have all those on, and I'm just, you know, probably. I would say the first NFL story was Patrick Mahomes and his 6 touchdowns, rightfully so, right? The kid has 10 touchdowns in the first 2 games of the season, both wins on the road.
Best start ever by a quarterback as far as touchdowns in a season.
Yeah, crazy ever. Yeah, I mean, my litmus test is, like, if you do something that's never been done and it's a good thing and you're just starting out, chances are, I always say this, special shows up right away. Right away. Like, you don't have to wait, you know?
Well, special, except he sat on the bench for a couple years behind Alex Smith.
Well, but so. I mean, this is his first chance to really play. And Correct. Even when they put him in, you were like, woof, you know, like he could spin it. But like, this is his first chance to, you know, to start. And then what's he doing right off the bat? And I know, you know, it's good that he was one of the few guys that could benefit from not starting and sitting behind Alex Smith and seeing how game plans are put in and corrections made and all that. And I really think, you know, that's the best way and few teams can afford to do anymore to groom a quarterback, especially a young guy. And let's face it, he's on a good football team. That's the other thing. You know, you look at these young quarterbacks and you say, well, why is this guy excelling? Why? Well, he's got Tyreek Hill. He's got a lot of good weapons and Andy Reid to boot.
Well, I was going
to
say, he's got a really good coach for quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think it really begins there. But, you know, that aside, the second biggest story, though, without fail, across the board was Ryan Fitzpatrick. And if you were going to pick NFL MVP right now, it'd probably be between those two after just 2 games, which of course is a ridiculously small sample size. But having said all that, it was Fitzpatrick's performance, number one, you know, throwing for over 400 yards the second week in a row, 4 more touchdowns, and first quarterback to go, you know, back-to-back weeks 1 and 2 with at least 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. And so, you know, his play got a lot of attention, especially the way the game started with the, you know, the 75-yarder to DeSean Jackson on the very first play of the game. But then it quickly morphed into, like, what happened after the game, which was hysterical because, I mean, I was there and, you know, DeSean and them, I guess, had talked about it when Fitz saw DeSean come in that afternoon or that morning, and their lockers were right next to each other. So after the game, they had decided that, you know, before Fitz went to the podium, he was going to get sort of blinged out. And he borrowed most of DeSean Jackson's jewelry, And so he put all that on, you know, the big pendant, the one of one pendant. And
do we know if he
chains.
Got it at Continental Wholesale Diamonds, though?
Well, I don't know if he did, but he should.
Because if Ryan's looking to purchase some
of
that,
he
would
save the most money.
If Ryan's looking to purchase some now, he can get it for 20% off if he mentions us.
He can mention us for 20% off if in fact he missed the free cruise to the Caribbean, which is unfortunate because he's got a ton of kids. He's got like 6 kids and one on the way. So he could have used a relaxing cruise. But
he's got one on the way. He can get a birth gift for his wife.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. And then take her on a baby moon.
There you go.
At Continental. But that said, I mean, that deal's over, and it's 20% off, so you can afford that. But DJX, I don't know where you guys drew it, but it was quite the ensemble. And, of course, he put on, you know, the silk track jacket or whatever it was, and then, the, you know, the gold rim shades and all that. And he was in complete character. He was hysterical because he gets up there and says, well, you know, this is nothing. We want to stay humble, you know. We don't want to change and all that stuff. And he stayed in character until – Deshaun walked in and wanted his stuff back because Deshaun was shirtless. Yeah, well, that was all he wore was the jacket, so he didn't have anything to wear, not to mention his jewelry. But so it was funny. You know, I mean, it was a neat clip, and then everybody got into it. And then the folks at Good Morning Football, which I think is one of the best shows, you know, on the air now, those guys are really hit it as far as ratings-wise. They got the right chemistry and the right crew. But it was funny. They cut away – and they're talking about, you know, Fitzpatrick, and they played the clip, and then they're showing something else. And when they cut back, you had Kyle Brandt and Peter Schrager and Nate Burleson all sort of in a similar getup with the glasses and the open, you know, black jackets and, you know, the chest hair and all that stuff. So it was really quite funny. And you know, that, you know, what was great about this, and I'm going to make this contrast, and maybe it's a little unfair, but I'm going to do it anyway, is that, you know, Jameis has gotten in trouble, or sort of ridiculed, if you will, for, you know, the eating the W's and, you know, remember the Hard Knocks where we had the rap lyrics and Fitzpatrick goes, yeah, I like it. It's a little too long. So some stuff that he's tried, right, that he trots out, this was completely organic, you know, or so it seemed. I mean, it had been talked about before the game and they executed it, but it wasn't like, you know, Fitz was saying, hey, this is how I'm going to gain attention by doing this. I guess there was some planning involved, but my point is that he was sort of acquiescing to his teammates' wishes. You know what I mean? Like, they were like, oh, you need to do this, man, you know.
Well, I think Jameis gets, you know, some of it, you know, for instance, the eating the W's comment. If they win that game, it gets played totally different afterwards.
Right, right.
But he was trying to pump up his team before the game. And was it corny? Okay, maybe. I don't see why people get so upset about it. And he's trying to fire up his team. If that's his personality, great. You know, Fitzpatrick's doing this after a second straight week of 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. It plays different.
You're right about that. You're exactly right. And it does play different. And you know the result before he does it. He didn't do it pregame, that sort of thing. So, but anyway, I enjoyed it. And so that was kind of the big story. And it continued all throughout the day. And, of course, the question we addressed just a little bit last night, we're going to get into it here in a minute. But, you know, the question that looms now after you see these two games and they're 2-0 heading into Monday night's game against Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 0-1-1, I guess, is, look, we're just days away. You know, on you know, Monday night, which once the clock
Yeah, look, a
midnight.
Week from today, this podcast is dropping Tuesday morning. So
a week from today,
Jameis is back.
At 12:01 a.m. or whenever that game is over, he could technically, you know, drive to the facility and, you know, begin or resume his NFL career, and him being, I mean, Jameis Winston. And so we're really close to where they're going to have to make a decision about, okay, what do we do now, you know? And some of that, I think, will depend on, you know, how Fitzpatrick plays. I mean, I've been told, for what it's worth, that, you know, only a change of play by him would necessarily get him out of there, you know. And they have a short week. They're going to be coming off the Monday night game. They have a built-in excuse going to Chicago. They have a bye week the week after. So you could certainly say, okay, well, Jameis hadn't played in 5 weeks. You know, we're going to let him get some reps, do some stuff, play Fitzpatrick, and then, you know, during the bye week, he'll get a lot of reps, and then we'll just see how it goes. But I'm convinced now that Fitzpatrick has definitely earned his way to start the Chicago game. Because part of me thinks that, and I don't know how he's going to play against Pittsburgh, but assuming he doesn't just, you know, melt down, part of me thinks it'd be really unfair to Winston, you know, that's a hell of a defense. And even though he's been working out and, you know, he's got timing with these guys over the years, I'm just not sure, especially if they win. If they win, it's a no-brainer anyway. But even if they lost and Fitz plays well, I think it's too much of an ask.
That's a really good point that, you know, whether they're 2-1 or 3-0, but as long as Fitzpatrick doesn't melt down and he plays well against Pittsburgh.
Sure.
Jameis gets enough criticism already.
On a short week,
just coming back from suspension. Do you really want to throw him out there when Fitzpatrick has all the mojo, the fans are excited about him, and everything else? Because, you know, now if Winston thrives in that environment, great. But if he struggles a little bit, it's just going to get worse for him.
It'll be hell to pay. It'll be absolute hell to pay.
On a short week and just getting back, it makes too much sense to start Fitzpatrick.
Right. Now, if they were sitting here 0-2 and Fitzpatrick, you know, just was awful for 2 weeks in a row and it was like, well, we have to plan. Totally different scenario. I mean, this is the best of the worst decisions they'll have to make, which is, you know, we wanted to get off to a fast start. He gave us a fast start, and it's like, oh, look what the problems he just brought us. We have a quarterback controversy, and yes, folks, it is a controversy. It's a controversy because the fans are talking about it, and the locker room will take sides, and that's inevitable. And when I say take sides, I mean they'll all have an opinion. We all do, right? Those, you know what they say about opinions. And so they're no different, okay? There will be players in there, I'm sure, that will be like, well, you know, Jameis is our guy. He gives us the best chance. He's the better quarterback. They're all big Jameis guys. And then there'll be, I think, an even bigger majority of players that will probably go, you don't mess with a winning streak.
I think there'll be less players. I think a majority of that locker room, if not all of them, are going to be behind Fitzpatrick. And it's purely, we want to win. It's not
win,
a personal thing.
Now.
It's not, we don't like Jameis. It's not, we don't think he can help us win. It's,
right.
We've got something going. Look, if this was any position but the quarterback, we wouldn't be talking about it. It'd be obvious. It'd be, you know, if it was a running back that was exploding.
Yeah.
Because, and then, you know, another, you know, say it's, you know, for Pittsburgh and Connor is exploding and then Le'Veon Bell shows up and you keep starting Connor because he's doing so well. That you wouldn't get the talk, but because it's a quarterback, you do. I don't think the locker room is going to be saying, hey, Jameis needs to start. Now, like you said, not personal, not they don't like Jameis, not they don't think he can give him a chance to win, but it's, we're winning now, we're rolling, we're not changing it. I think you'd have a bigger problem in the locker room if you did change it at this point.
Probably, and particularly from those that have benefited from Fitzpatrick's play, which is pretty much the whole receiving core when you think about it. But in particular, this guy, DeSean Jackson, okay, who is, I believe, leading the NFL in receiving yards. He's got 250. He's got
three touchdowns.
He didn't know
that stat, by the way.
No, he did not. You know, no, of course he didn't. Why would guys know their stats? That's the biggest lie, by the way, ever told in professional sports. I play with guys, I'm telling you, they knew down to the percent. They knew if they went 0 for 3 what their average was before they showed up at the ballpark. You know? I don't believe that.
Yeah, for those who don't know, so DeSean Jackson was on NFL Total Access, and they brought up that he's leading the league in receiving, and his first answer was, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. You're telling me something I don't know? I didn't know that. Yes, you did. If you didn't know it, you had a pretty good suspicion, and I just confirmed it. But that aside, so he's on NFL Total Access because he's, you know, he's hot. He's DeSean Jackson, the Bucs are 2-0, all those things. And, you know, they get around finally towards the end of the interview to ask him about, you know, well, what happens now after this week when Jameis Winston returns, what do you do at quarterback?
Now, honestly, man, he's playing on fire right now. And, you know, the way the team is rallying behind him and just playing, you know, lights out football, you have to kind of honor it. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can't take the hot man out. He got the hot fire right now. It's like NBA Jam. We used to play NBA Jam. We young. Whoever's got that hot fire shot, you got to keep shooting, man. So, you know, it's not my decision, but I'm sure they'll Dirk and Coach Munkin, them guys that make some call, I'm sure they'll, you know, let them stay on fire until, you know, that fire's out. But I think we're going to stay on fire, man. That's our job, to go out there and stay on fire, and that's what we're going to do.
Like the man said, you can't take the hot man out.
Does he mean hot fashion like Ryan Fitzpatrick was modeling after the game, which was Deshaun's fashion? Or does he mean hot like in playing football?
I don't. Could be both. Those are not mutually exclusive. You can dress well and play football. I believe that he's talking about the way he's throwing the ball, particularly to him, which is often, and with great success, and down the field and all those things. I mean, you know, held Deshaun's averaging like 30 yards a reception. So why would he want him to change? And you wonder if that's not the feeling that pretty much everybody in that locker room has, which is, hey, man, you know, we're red hot or white hot or whatever the hot level is above red. And so, you know, sports people are superstitious, like we talked about, and Jackson in particular. But still, it's shocking. Like, I don't know if it's shocking to hear it. I mean, it'd be probably more shocking if you said, oh, no, just Jameis comes in day one, we're riding with him, you know. Nice job by Fitz, so it's time for him to back out. I mean, that would be a surprise, right? But
It's not shocking he thinks it. It's shocking he said it.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not used to athletes actually telling us what they think. They speak in cliches for the most part.
I mean, he did come back after making it clear that he would not make a change and say, but it's up to Jason Light and Dirk Cutter and those guys. Thanks for clearing that.
Well, sure, and like we talked earlier, I don't think it's no one believes Jameis can help them win or they can't win with Jameis. It's right now Ryan Fitzpatrick's hot. Let's ride it.
Yeah, he's playing lights out football. You just kind of have to honor it, and that is, you know, that's sports etiquette 101, man. It just is. It's like, hey, you know, we're winning, and we may know that the player A is not as good as player B, but every time we're playing and we keep winning, so we're not going to switch. And that's kind of how it goes. Now, here's the big ointment fly, if you will. You're the Buccaneers, and your jobs obviously depend on winning football games. And so you also are like the players where you don't want to do anything to jeopardize that winning streak, right, or your chance to win that day. But somebody, namely Jason Light, somebody has to say, look, for the greater good, like we're all about winning football games, but if this team is who I think it is, if these receivers are who we think they are, okay, and if what I saw in the preseason is what Jameis Winston will become this year, then I think you just have to trust it and pull the Band-Aid off and give him that job at some point, and the sooner the better, because the alternative is the road to nowhere.
Well, but it okay.
It just is.
It's a very good point, but do they believe that?
Do they believe that what?
They drafted him 4 years ago. He is the franchise quarterback, or that's what they hope they drafted. Do they believe he's good enough to get them there?
To get them to the Super Bowl?
Sure. Do they believe he's good enough? I don't think we know the answer to that.
Well, I think they think that he's going to be that guy, yes.
Okay.
I believe that they have total faith in him. The problem is this. Like, let's just say, you know, the fans get that we do a fan poll, and even we poll the players and maybe some of the coaches in there, and it comes out, you know, 51-49 or whatever, or better than that, that, you know, don't make a change. Whatever you do, don't make a change. You know, ride fit. Ride him. And if you ride him to the end, you're great. Okay, a couple things about that's wrong that becomes problematic. And I tend to think this will work itself out myself personally. But if you were to do that, and let's say Fitz wins 10 games. Let's say, you know, and he's done that before. He did it a few years ago with the Jets. In fact, they needed to win one more game, and he absolutely was horrid in the final regular season game, and they missed the playoffs. He threw about three interceptions. But, you know, if you were to ride him out, as they were, if you just stick with Fitzpatrick, Winston, now you lose him mentally, right? I mean, as much as you're going to say I'm a team guy and everything, when has he ever been behind somebody, like in his life, right? When has he ever sat there for some reason other than injury or suspension like he had at Florida State? It's never happened. So, you know, you're also sending a message sort of to your team that, you know what, well, we're all about winning and Ryan's playing really well and he earned it and we're going to ride with him, you're not really behind Jameis at that point. You know, you've kind of moved on in a sense. But what have you moved on to? Ryan Fitzpatrick's 35 years old. I don't care. And short of the Super Bowl, which you can't predict, I don't think he's Kurt Warner. And he's certainly a little older than Kurt was at the time. But short of that, he's doesn't even have a contract with you next year. So you're going to sign him to a $40 or $50 million deal at the age 36? You know, he was brought here to be a backup. He's doing his job and doing it better than anyone could imagine. He's not only kept you afloat, he's actually put you in the position of being a division leader while Jameis was on suspension. But you lose Winston, and you got this thing of almost $20 million sitting there that's guaranteed only against injury. So if you don't play Jameis, then he's not going to be injured, so you're good there. But then you're going to offer him $20 million and say, hey, let's come back next year. You know, the whole Fitzpatrick thing, it was just a good story. And, you know, we didn't make it to the Super Bowl, but you're really our guy. You're our guy. But no, I'm not.
But you talked about the greater good. But another angle to this is, by all accounts, Jason Light and Dirk Koetter are coaching and GMing for their jobs this year.
They are, and they need wins.
If they take out Fitzpatrick when he's hot and Jameis comes in and doesn't succeed, they're done.
Right? Right. That's true.
So if you make that call and it doesn't work, you're done.
That's true, too.
So you're risking your job at that point. Are they willing to?
And that's where I go back to.
Do they believe Jameis can duplicate the success that Ryan is on right now? Now,
they
Ryan,
have to believe
Ryan cools
that.
Off I mean, in 3 or 4 weeks. It's a different story.
Yeah, right. And I think he'll – look, I don't – a couple things. I think that teams are going to adjust. I mean, I was shocked.
Sure.
I was shocked that Philadelphia came out there and on the first play they run a corner blitz and the safety has to rotate over to Evans to cover up and DeSean Jackson is one-on-one.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Fine. Down the field. I mean, that was just – that defense made no sense to me. You had to spend all week watching these balls go over the Saints' heads, and the first thing you would do is say, we're not letting that happen. They're not striking from 75 and 80 yards. It's – that won't happen, okay? They did it to them twice.
But no – well, the first play, no one expected it the first – obviously, Philadelphia didn't expect it on the first play.
No, but, I mean, you put yourself you made yourself vulnerable to it by vacating a corner – on the first damn play on defense. So that was a weird sort of thing. But at some point when you've got two or three games on film now, you know, because every year every team's different. And sometimes it takes, I'm talking to Dirk Koetter, he goes, really to figure out what a team is trying to do and what they're about this year. And there's a lot of carryover with coordinators on certain teams and whatnot. But he goes, you really need about, you know, we study tape of the previous three games, five games, you know. So the first couple of weeks are sort of a feeling out process anyway. Well, at some point, I would say this week with Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's defense has been pretty bad, but at some point teams are going to go, no. You are not throwing it over our heads. You know, DeSean Jackson's going to run a lot of go routes that the ball's not going to come his way. Because, you know, if you we're going to let you be check down Charlie, but we're not allowing that, right? You can't double everybody. I get all that stuff. And there's ways you can scheme up big plays no matter what defense they play. But I got to believe there'll be an adjustment to Ryan Fitzpatrick. He can't – I mean, unless he's – you know, like I said, unless he's going to be the MVP candidate, I don't see him keeping this pace up, you know. But I mean, you have – if you drafted that guy number one and you watched him improve every year, and I think he has improved. I mean, statistically, I can quote them to you. You know, the wins have not been there. I think we – there's a lot of reasons for that. Certainly he has to wear some of that too. He was injured last year for 3 weeks, came back probably too soon. So, you know, a lot went into that, but he's gotten better. I mean, you have so much investment in time, in games that you played him, in, you know, so many different, you know, money. And what happens? I mean, you know, if the guy's out of here in a year, you're starting over, man. You're like everybody that doesn't have a quarterback again. You know what I mean? And no guarantee that you'll be in position in the draft, or that even the draft that you are in position has a guy that's even half as good as Winston, you know, was when you got rid of him. I mean, it just, they're in a really funny place with this whole thing. Mm-hmm. They just really are. It's an interesting dilemma, and I'm telling you, nobody at $1, nobody wants to touch this right now. Nobody wants to even talk about it.
Well, you know, if you're the team, you absolutely shouldn't talk about it for a couple of reasons. One, right. You don't know what's going to happen Monday night.
No.
You
can throw for 500.
Well,
yeah,
often in
right.
sports, sometimes these things just work themselves out.
Well, and that's what they're counting on. I really believe that.
But, I think, you know, barring something crazy, I think Fitzpatrick starts game four, and then you got the bye week to figure it out.
That's what I think. I think if he comes back, okay, Tuesday, a week from today, he's there a whole week, right?
Right, but it's a short week.
Short week, but he's there. But it counts. And he's not taking first team reps, right? He's a scout squad. He's, you know, Fitzpatrick is getting ready to play. So during the bye week, they have a chance to get Jameis a few more reps because there's only a couple days of practice. I mean, it's very, you know, minimal compared to a regular work week. And they try to get these guys like 5 days in a row off or whatever. But they'll have a couple days, like a Tuesday, Wednesday or something like that. And, you know, they can give Jameis pretty much all the reps because you want to rest your starters in that case, as far as whether it's their arms or anybody has a bump or bruise, you know, anything at all, that's sort of your week to recharge, and that's all you got the whole year, so you better take advantage of it. But Jameis will have short week kind of practice, you know, get back in the flow, throw extra after, whatever, and then he can take some reps, you know, the week after that, and then you got to decide, you know, you just do. And look, if they're 4-0, if they go and they beat Pittsburgh, and then Fitz goes to Chicago, and they win again, you're not benching them. You're just not. Because that big zero, you know, next to the number of wins is a huge thing. And I really do. I agree with you, Steve. I think they're thinking this is going to take care of itself, that they're going to run into a buzzsaw one night. And it could have happened the other day. You know, for all the big plays that they made, they needed every one of those. You know, because they had turnovers on even more big plays, you know, with, you know, the fumble that occurred and, you know, you had a drop pass and stuff like this. I mean, OJ coughed the ball up. It really was an interception, but, you know, Mike Evans fumbling when you were going in. So they had a lot of mistakes, and they had things that, you know, that they got to clean up. It wasn't perfect. So I think they're in a funny way, and I think they really do wish that this takes care of itself, but I just cannot – look, I know how sports is, and you don't want to change anything, but I can't fathom them throwing away a talent like Jameis Winston, who you know is better than Ryan Fitzpatrick overall. Now, maybe not cerebrally, you know, cerebrally or recognition and, you know, doesn't have the experience that Ryan has. And maybe he doesn't even throw as good a deep ball. You know, maybe he's still got work to do in that area. But overall, I mean, the pedigree, everything you drafted him for, all those reasons are still there. And I'm sort of surprised. I mean, I love the Ryan Fitzpatrick story. He's been great. I think he's earned his way to play. This is not a fluke. This is not something that he's being handed. He took advantage of this. And he's having a ball. And he knows in his own career that he's been on top of the mountain, and then he knows how steep that fall is, and it happens in a snap of a finger. And that's literally Dirk Cutter snapped his fingers today when I asked him about it. And he goes,
you know, we'll worry about that when the time comes. Right now, you know, we're going to – right after I get out of here, we're gonna start working on Pittsburgh. And that's all that matters right now. You know, everything else is in the future because it could all change just like that.
So, and a part of me believes they know, you know, football, either a guy gets hurt or just isn't very good or whatever. And I think that would be the best case scenario for them. But I'm telling you, they're in a funny place with this whole thing now.
They're in a funny place, but I'll tell you, it's a much better place than the alternative of being.
Oh, sure it is. No question.
I mean,
yeah.
You'll take this funny place anytime when you're 2-0.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know what I mean? Like, it's ironic, isn't it, that you've won yourself into a quarterback controversy that you never intended to have. You never intended. Look, how about this? Okay, it's not the exact parallel, all right? Let's take Nick Foles, okay? What did Nick Foles do last year? Well, Wentz got hurt, and the guy had a dream-like, never-see-it-happen-again, takes over a team that was very, very good, and, you know, from a quarterback who played, you know, lights out, wins all those playoff games, goes to the Super Bowl, wins it, becomes the MVP of the Super Bowl. They start him the next year, wins his first game. Okay, let's assume that a couple things go right and he wins his second game. He's 1-1, but let's say he was 2-0. The first minute that Doug Peterson heard that Carson Wentz had been cleared by doctors, he ran out there and announced that he's the starter this week. Right? Here's a guy that won the Super Bowl, was the MVP. As good as Fitzpatrick is, he didn't do that for him. And they still didn't waste any time saying, no. That's our franchise. That's our future right there. We drafted him.
Well, but that goes back to – that's my question, and I don't know if we fully know, because is Jameis Winston in Jason Light and Dirk Cutter's eyes the franchise quarterback? But the caveat to that is they have to win this year just to get to next year.
I know.
Winning this year is more important than –
But you can't have it both ways. You can't both win with Fitzpatrick and then say, but he's still our guy.
Well, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is if Jason Light and Dirk Cutter don't win this year, they're gone. It doesn't matter what happens next year. So,
well, that's true.
So some of it is worry about this year, and we'll figure out next year. There can be a little bit of that at play, only because, hey, if we're gone, it doesn't matter what happens.
And you know who's ultimately going to decide this? The ownership.
True.
End of the day, it's their team. And look, folks, I'm telling you, they love Jameis Winston. I mean, love Jameis, okay? They love winning. They love what Ryan Fitzpatrick's doing, don't get me wrong. And if they thought he could do it for 16 weeks, they'd play him and ride him all the way to the Super Bowl if they thought that was going to happen. But they have every intention of this guy being their quarterback this year, next year, maybe the year after, and so forth.
Well, and that's something we haven't talked about. It's possible they've said Jameis is starting game four.
Well, I don't think they said game four.
I'm saying it's possible that could happen, or maybe they've already said
it. It could. I mean, look, does that happen? Yeah, it happens. I mean, I think you're better off trusting your football guys and letting them do their jobs, but owners do meddle. We know this. My sense of it is that they would be fine if Fitz plays well, win or lose, with all the reasons we talked about, short week, all that, that they go, you know what, it might be unfair to Jameis to go into Chicago and have that monster of a defensive end coming off the edge at you, and you have not played any meaningful no football at all in 37 days. You have not been on a field against competition in 37 days. And we're putting you out there with Khalil Mack bearing down on you in Soldier Field. That just might not be a good, smart thing to do. So, you know, from that standpoint, I think even the owners would be like, yeah, no, I see that. But believe me, this might be an ownership thing. If it doesn't work itself out and he cools off just a little bit or they lose a game or two, I don't think there's any question that that they make Dirk aware that, hey, we have every expectation Jameis is going to take over again. Just like they had probably every expectation that Todd Monken was going to call plays. And that happened. So this kind of is an ownership deal, right? And because here's the thing. GMs don't get to draft quarterbacks first overall twice. They rarely get another franchise quarterback opportunity. It just doesn't happen. You know? This one has to work. Or somebody else will be picking the next guy. So it's a really interesting thing, though, isn't it, that Fitzpatrick has done such a good job that everybody's talking about this, and no one would have talked about it if he had kind of like he did last year against Miami. Yeah, they beat the Jets, but the Jets aren't very good. He didn't play all that great. And then, you know, they had to rally late against Miami, and he made some plays, and, you know, he got waxed by Atlanta and just absolutely destroyed, you know. That sort of is the thing that you sort of expected, not this. You know, he's been unbelievable. I mean, I have a ton of respect for Ryan Fitzpatrick. I love the story. It is truly a storybook type thing. And it's great for his family. It's been fun to watch. He's captivated this whole community. How about all the people that are wearing Fitzpatrick beards? You know? How about the song, It's Magic? How about all that's going on that fans have just, like, erupted to? I mean, it's a movement, you know, in a way. But you're also, like it, or wittingly or unwittingly, you're dividing your fan base. You're dividing your locker room in some ways, perhaps. You know what I mean? Like, this now is a thing. One other matter real quickly before we move on is that, you know, you might have noticed Noah Spence was inactive on Sunday. This is their second-round pick from a couple of years ago. Now, he, of course, had the same shoulder injury twice in a way and had surgery both years. This past year, after being, you know, put on injury reserve, they think that they solved the problem. He's gained some weight. I think he's up to around close to 260 pounds or so. And he came into camp. He looked great physically, but hasn't played that great. And, in fact, you know, he's a guy that suddenly didn't get any reps after the first game. And they had Carl Nassib in there that had been there like 3 days, and he took a ton of reps. He took like 25 or 27 plays. So this past week on Sunday, it was very notable that Spence was inactive. And that has not happened, I don't believe, in his career since he's been in Tampa. And so, you know, we've talked about special teams. This sort of happened with Ronald Jones as well. I mean, that fifth or sixth defensive end has to play special teams, and Noah does not start on any special teams. But it was pretty shocking for him to find himself, and he found out on Friday he wouldn't get in a helmet. And so what he did was confront Dirk Cutter. He went up to his office, and they had it out. Now, I don't think screaming was involved, but, you know, Noah rightfully wanted to know, hey, what do I have to do? You know, because that's a scary thing to be inactive if you're a veteran player, because you're really just sort of a tell that you're maybe one step away from, you know, being let go for another position. But so we talked to Spence a little bit, and, you know, Cutter said he respected that he came there and talked to him and you know, sort of asked, what do I got to do? And basically the message that Spence got from Cutter was, get out of your own head, you know, that you're putting too much pressure on yourself, and, you know, that can lead to a lot of things, playing slower, whatever. But he's still confident he's going to be back. I just don't know how the numbers are going to work, because they continue to have injuries on, you know, maybe if they get Brent Grimes back and get some guys back, some corners, they can do some different things. But pretty interesting player to find himself not on the field after all the work he's put in and coming back from that surgery and everything. So we'll see what the future is for Noah Spence. But, you know, you have 2 second-round draft picks that were not active along with Ronald Jones on Sunday. Okay, also on Monday night, the Tampa Bay Rays, they win their first game of the series against the Texas Rangers 3-0. Tyler Glasnow with a great performance, just 2 hits, 2 walks over 6 innings, gets his first win, I guess, as a Ray. And now they're, what, 6.5 back of the A's? Is that right?
Yeah, they're 6.5 back, only 6 in the loss column. Their elimination number is 7. So Oakland was off on Monday. If Oakland wins 7 games, the Rays are eliminated. If they win 6 or 5, then the Rays can only lose. Basically, any combination of Rays losses and Oakland wins, if it adds up to 7, the Rays are eliminated.
So, right.
And Oakland's got 12 games left. The Rays have 13 left.
Yeah.
So it's still a long, very long shot.
Odds. Yeah.
Very long shot. And the A's schedule's not very conducive either. They're hosting the Angels. They go to the Angels at the end of the year. I think they've got the Twins this weekend at home,
yeah.
And they have another road series at the Mariners.
Wow.
So those are the teams they're playing. Unfortunately, they don't have any games left with the Astros or somebody like that. But
yeah. Yeah, it's going to be hard, but man, I just love the way the Rays have put together these win streaks and these, you know, the kind of last 2 months that they've had. You know, every game they're going out there and they're doing something great and winning games. Just it's a habit now.
Yep.
You know, you can see that they go out there expecting to win, and it's really cool to watch.
And your guy G-Man Choi, another home run.
Guy can mash.
His 10th of the year.
The dude can mash, and they put him in good situations against guys he can hit. But you know, that's an interesting guy. Tough guy would be a tough guy to get rid of.
It's going to be interesting this offseason what they do, because you got to figure Choi and Krohn are not going to both be here next year.
Right.
And Krohn's leading your team in home runs this year. Granted, he's been here the whole year and Choi hasn't, but It's going to be interesting what they decide to do because, you know, basically neither one of them played deep. I mean, Crone will play a little first base. Choi has not played the field at all since he got here. Crone can play first, but Jake Bauer is your everyday first baseman. So it's going to be interesting what they do.
Now you're going to take another guy that led you in home runs like Logan Morrison and just say bye to him. It's just weird to me. But they've done it before. We've seen them do it before. And finally, it's here. The Tampa Bay Lightning begin the preseason tonight. Is that possible? I swear it was 15 minutes ago I was getting ready to go to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Final.
It is. The Carolina Hurricanes will be in town, and the Lightning tomorrow will go play at Carolina. Then they got a bunch of games next week, including they're home this Saturday, then they'll be home next Tuesday, then they're playing in Orlando next Thursday against the Panthers, and they go down to there as well. So 7 preseason games in all, and then the season begins October 6th.
Yeah, not many positions that are going to be fought for on this hockey team because they have such a large core of returners and things.
There's not many open, but when Braden Point made the roster 2 years ago, there wasn't really a spot open.
Good point.
And he played his way into it. John Cooper today was very talked glowingly about Eric Chernak, who was the defenseman they got in the trade for Ben Bishop when they traded him to the Kings. He specifically said he could play his way onto this team as a defenseman. Cal Foote's another one to watch out for. He was the first round pick a year ago. Defenseman. He's probably going to start at Syracuse, but he probably will see some time this year at the NHL level. And if he plays well enough, he could end up here permanently, but you know, and probably next year he'll be up here.
And finally, you want to know what it pays to be a college football coach at the University of Florida? Well, the news is out. Dan Mullen, nice deal if you can get it, right?
6 years, $36.6 million. So that's $6.1 million a year.
Man.
He also has access to a $200,000 expense account, $70,000 in airplane use.
Wait a minute. $200,000 a year expenses?
Yeah.
What do you need a salary for at that point, for God's sakes?
Yeah, I don't know what I don't know what all, you know, if that's when you're out recruiting, that's your expense account. I don't know what that exactly that means, but $70,000 in airplane use, receives a $33,000 in annual pension contributions.
Man, it pays to be a football coach if you're a really good one, doesn't
it? If Florida wants to let him go without cause, it's $12 million it'll cost him.
Yeah, $12 million.
Meanwhile, he can leave for just $2 million.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Then he's got some bonuses, too. He's got $50,000 for SEC Coach of the Year, $100,000 for reaching the SEC Championship game, $200,000 for winning the SEC Championship, another $100,000 for reaching any bowl game, $200,000 for reaching a New Year's Six bowl game, $250,000 for reaching the college football semifinal, and $300,000 for reaching the championship game, $400,000 if he wins it.
Yeah, that's great. And he knows his players, they get books and tuition. It's awesome. It's another show. I don't know. Just bitter about that for some reason. Well, good for Dan Mullen. I'm glad. Look, that just shows how much leverage he had on them. I mean, getting him from Mississippi State was not an easy thing, I guess. Hey, listen, we love your interaction, guys. We're going to have our popular mailbag segment again this week, so it's never too early to get your questions in. You can do that by tweeting them to us. At SportsDayTB, that's at SportsDayTB, or you can reach me on Twitter at NFL Stroud, or you can email me at rstroud@tampabay.com. And just remember now, if you need some air conditioning needs, you've got to become a millionaire. For 30 years, Howard and Sue Million have brought you the cool comfort of air conditioning throughout the entire Tampa Bay area. Make them your choice for all your needs in air conditioning and heating. Call them at 727-862-2100. And take advantage of their fine service and products there. Once again, thanks for listening. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. For Steve Versnick, have a great day, everybody.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.